Blog Talk Radio.
I wanna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw the disregard, a broken bottle top and a one-man flow. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet does know.
Hello out there in podcast land. Welcome. This is the Hodge to Hodge podcast, the messenger edition. This is Nurse Carmen, and we have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. And tonight we'll have a conversation with the messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and welcome once again to our half an hour of power. I don't know about y'all, but I was starting to feel Brother Mike just then. Make that change. Make that change. Well, I got a question. The question out tonight is, why did God create two sexes? Was this the only way God could figure for us to recreate? How should we deal with this incredible experience called sexuality? And I say this, not with shame. That's for sure, and not with guilt, and not with fear. For shame is not virtue, and guilt is not goodness, and fear is not honored. And not with lust, for lust is not passion, and not with abandon, for abandon is not freedom, and not with aggressiveness, or aggressiveness is not eagerness. And obviously not with idea of control or power or domination, for these have nothing to do with love. But may sex be used for purpose of simple personal gratification? The surprising answer is yes, because personal gratification is just another word for self-love. Personal gratification has gotten a bad rap through the years, which is the main reason so much guilt is attached to sex. You are told you are not to use for personal gratification something which is intensely personally gratifying. This obviously contradiction is apparent to you, but you don't know where to go with the conclusion. So you decided that if you feel guilty about how good you feel during and after sex, that will at least make it all right. It's not unlike the famous singer you all know, whom I will not name here, who receives millions of dollars for singing her song, asked to comment on her incredible success and the riches it has brought her. She says, "I feel almost guilty because I love doing this so much." The implication is clear. If it is something you love doing, you should not also be rewarded additionally with money. Most people earn money by doing something they hate or something that is at least hard work, not endless joy. So the world's message is, if you feel negatively about it, then you can enjoy it. Guilt is often used by you in your attempt to feel bad about something you feel good about, and thus reconcile yourself with God. who you think does not want you to feel good about anything. You are especially not to feel good about joy of the body, and absolutely not about, as Grandma used to whisper and say, S-E-X. Well, the good news is it's all right to love sex. It's all right to love yourself. In fact, it is mandatory. What does not serve you is to become addicted to self, sex, or anything else. But it is okay to fall in love with it. Practice saying this 10 times each day. I love sex. Practice saying this 10 times. I love money. Now, you really want a tough one? Try saying this 10 times. I love me. Here are some other things you are not supposed to love. Practice loving them. Power, glory, fame, success, winning. Want some more? Try these. You should really feel guilty if you love these. The adoration of others, being better, having more, knowing how, knowing why. Had enough? Wait, here's the ultimate guilt. You should feel the ultimate guilt if you feel that you know God. Isn't this interesting? All through your life, you have been made to feel guilty about the things you want most. Yet I tell you this, love, love, love the things you desire, for your love of them draws them to you. These things are stuff of life. When you love them, you love life. When you declare them, you desire them. You announce that you chose all the good that life has to offer. So choose sex, all the sex you can get. And choose power, all the power you can muster. And choose fame, all the fame you can attain. And choose success, all the success you can achieve. And choose winning, all the winning you can experience. Yet, do not choose sex instead of love, but as a celebration of it. Do not choose power over, but power with. Do not choose fame as an end in itself, but as a means to a larger end. And do not choose success at the expense of others, but as a tool to assist others. Do not choose winning at any cost, but that another nothing and even brings them gain as well. Go ahead and choose the adorations of others, but see all others as being upon which you can shower adoration and do it. Go ahead and choose better, but not better than others, rather better than you were before. Go ahead and choose having more, but only so that you have more to give. And yes, choose knowing how and knowing why, so that you can share all knowledge with others. And by all means, choose to know God. In fact, choose this first, and all else will follow. All of your life you have been taught that it is better to give than to receive. Yet, you cannot give what you do not have. This is why self-gratification is so important and why it is so unfortunate that it has come to sound so ugly. Obviously, self-gratification at the expense of others is not what we're talking about here. This is not about ignoring the needs of others, yet life should also not have to be about ignoring your own needs. Give yourself abundant pleasure, and you will have abundant pleasure to give others. The masters of great sex know this. This is why they encourage masturbation, which some of you actually call a sin. Now we make it, we're thinking about this in our minds, and what we've just done is we've had a judgment about masturbation. I am not deliberately offending anyone. People are free to be offended or not, as they choose. Yet, do you really think it is good to be possible for us to candidly and openly talk about human sexuality without someone choosing to be offended? And you know, especially in religion, that's something that they don't want to talk about. Everybody do it, but nobody don't want to talk about it. My Cobra dude's always telling me, all right, bring it down. But it's something, I mean, it's just something that we have to understand that we've got a limited podcast here, group here today. But think about this. How many of us, when we think about sex, we think about it, we think about the pleasure, and then we think about what we want to call bad about it, or what we want to think bad about it, even though we love it. So the point, what I'm trying to get us to understand is, for so long, people have been telling us what is right and what is wrong. And we're living our lives each day to what it is that other people want from us. And we have to understand that it is our life. It is your path. It is your destiny. And in order for you to be able to follow your path and your destiny, you've got to do what is best for you, not what it is that other people want. And when I say this, I want you to understand, honestly, this even goes to our children. When our children get of age, we still want to be mother and father. And what I mean by that is we still want to treat them as if they were children. But if we do a good job in bringing them up, and part of considered a good job of bringing them up is being able to let them go, because you've known that you've done a good job and that they will make the best choices possible. And this is one of the reasons why it's important that you allow your children to experiment while they're young. So that way they don't fall into that same box that we fell into, where we think, oh, I can't do this. Oh, I got to do this. All of these different things that other people had laid upon us to make us feel guilt. And guilt is not good for us. We are here to live our lives. One of the things I'm always saying is all things work together for the good. And so with that saying, what we need to start doing is we've got to start understanding exactly what that means. And what I mean by that is sometimes something might not go the way you originally planned for it to go. So instead of looking at it as bad, look at it as if, okay, that wasn't the way to go. Let me go the other way. Then we don't see it as bad. We don't label it as bad, because sometimes when things don't go exactly like we want them to go, we call it bad. We get down on ourselves. And next thing you know, we're feeling bad over silly stuff like, I didn't make the left turn when I should have. So we're so easy to get down on ourselves instead of seeing the bigger picture. This thing that we call life is a beautiful thing. We've just got to start living it. And right now we're not living it because I can't do what I want to do because mommy told me that that wasn't right, even though I enjoy doing it. So if it's something that I enjoy, why should I not do it? I'm not hurting anyone. This is something that is giving self-gratification to myself. Why should I not do it? And actually, I'm opening this up to the panel. Why should that not be done? I just want somebody to give me a reason, because we've been doing it all of our lives. So now, as we become adults, explain to me, why should we not be doing it?
Be doing what, Brother Pastor?
Doing anything that brings us joy.
I mean, there's no real reason why one shouldn't, but again, we fall into that. We are concerned how others look at us or judge us. You know what I'm saying? So if you have to sneak and do it, then you admit to yourself that it's not correct. If you do it in front of others, they look at you as if you are weird. So it puts you in somewhat of a quandary there. And then we choose to satisfy others more times than we choose to actually satisfy ourselves.
That's
so
correct.
We forego whatever it might be that we like to do that makes other people look at us different. So again, we forego our own happiness for the sake of being viewed in a good eye by other people.
And that is correct. And so I come back to some of the things in which we talked about earlier. If what I'm doing doesn't make you happy, well, me not doing it makes you happy and makes me sad, where is the logic in that? How can I be more loving if I can't love myself because you say it's bad? How can I, and just as I spoke about earlier, even with riches, how can I give if I don't have to give? And we put the stigma on money. We made it like money is something that God does not want us to have. Even though he clearly says that he wants to give you the desires of your heart. So if you want money, why do you think that God looks at it as bad? Because we have been trained to think and call so many things bad that is not bad. And this is one of the things we've got to, as Brother Paul said, we've got to renew our minds and stop seeing things that way. I hate to take this left turn here, but I'll give you another good example. We mourn, we get all mushy up and stuff with a thing called death. And we spoke about this last week, but death. But we have to understand with death is the beginning of true life. Once your body has transformed and the soul, which is you, not that face that you see in the mirror, but the real you, which is inside you, is let loose. And the only way it can be let loose is when it leaves this body. So can you imagine the soul being inside of you? You can just barely walk, run, jump. But then at the moment of death, it's able to fly. So, you know, we've come to the point now where we call it a celebration, and that's what it really is. Now, that's not to say that you won't mourn the loss because of the memories, but I say you take those memories and you experience those memories in the joyous way, but be grateful. Be grateful because the person that has gone on to something so much better, and you will eventually go to that same place. And so we've got to stop being afraid of death. We've got to understand that death is truly the beginning of real life. But we won't be able to understand and accept that until we come to the realization that it is the spirit within us to which we really are. It is that spirit within us that is telling us at certain days, no, don't go across that street. No, don't open that door. That is you inside of you telling you. But because we think that I am what I see in the mirror, we think that once this body goes into the ground, then there is no more me. we think this, but as each day that someone passes away, they always come back and see somebody. So if they come back and talk to somebody, how can that be the end? But we see it as that. And this is why we have to change how we see and think of things. If we're always thinking of everything as bad, then we can't truly enjoy it. We look for reasons to be upset. We look for reasons to think that it's the world against us. And we have to understand that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. We have to understand that greater is he that is in me than any of this stuff that is going on. And through him, through this power that is within me, I can do all things. All things. Now, I know we don't have any college professors or anything in here, but I think we all know what the word all means. So we've got to walk with that boldness. We've got to start acting with that knowledge that all is right. We have to understand, oh, I should have been here. I should have. No, you are right where you are supposed to be. You know why? Because you brought yourself there. Admit it, accept it. And if you don't like where you're at right now, you know what you do? You move. You move and go to the next place where you want to be. And if you were able to bring yourself to this point in life, you can bring yourself to another point in life. It is on you. You have the power each and every day to create and be the best you can be. You have that power. Nobody else has that power for you. You have it. And if you decide you just want to stay in the bed all day, that's what you decided. Now, don't get up the next day and complain because you stayed in the bed all day, because you made that choice. So because you made that choice, relish it. This is what I decided to do. Or this is what I decided to do, but I can't do that anymore. I've got to do something else. Instead of, as they would say, having a pity party or thinking that, oh, is me, woe is me. Or the world is against me. No. The only person that is against you is you are against yourself, because you're failing to be and live up to what it is that you truly want to be. Think about how many stories have you heard about 95-year-old women and men going back to school, getting their degrees at 95 years old. Because they decided this is what they wanted to do. And they did it. And believe it or not, it is just that simple. You have to do it. If you know that you can do it, do it. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And I'm here to tell you that there is nothing that you can't do. Before you decide to do whatever it is you want to do, just stop for a moment and have a conversation with yourself. And after you have that conversation with yourself, sit and be still for a few minutes. And when I say be still, don't think about the grocery, don't think about the kids, don't think about anything. Just sit still. And I guarantee you, a still voice will come and answer whatever it is that you need to know. And that's the voice you should be listening to, and not all of these other voices that probably don't know you and don't know what's best for you. Who knows what's better for you than you? And I can tell you this, when you start to listen to the voice that is within you, you will see a dramatic change in your life. And people will start to look at you strange. Why? Because you're not following behind the rules that they've set up for you. You are living your life. And as you live your life, that means you're doing what you want to do to make you happy. And if you're happy, then you're able to share happiness. But if you're not happy and sad, all you can share is sadness. And is that how we want to live our life? When there is so much to life? So we've got to make that choice. We've got to make that change. And if we want our lives to go in a different direction, it's just that simple. We just have to start going in that direction. And if we go in the direction in which we want to go, I guarantee you, your footsteps have been ordered. And when I say they've been ordered, when I talked about talking, having that conversation with yourself, you will get an answer. And that you that is inside of you that is directing you is not going to lead you wrong. Truth be told, I might lead you wrong because I don't know what is best for you. But you will not lead yourself wrong. Now, just as I get ready to leave, how many of us have started to do something and it was something within us that said, nope, that's not the thing for you to do? Just me?
No, that happens quite often.
It's happened, yeah. Me too. Yeah.
Because it is the spirit within you. And that is a time that you listen to it, but it's talking to you all the time. And sometimes it tells you not to go, but you still go. And then that's when the outcome isn't what you expected. But if you look at it in a positive way, it's still not bad because it was kind of like, for lack of a better way to put it, a learning experience of not to take that way the next time. And we all know the definition of insanity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why all things are working together for the good. If I stick my hand in the fire today, I know it's going to burn me. If I stick it in there tomorrow, it's because I want it to burn me. So now I still, once again, have a choice.
Or could it be I have a very bad memory?
Could it be you got a really bad memory? You think about it.
So you're not buying that?
Huh? Yeah, you stick your head in the fire and it get burned. Huh? You won't forget that.
Yeah, he said some things. That's going to be indelibly put on your mind.
That's right, yes. you might forget who your name is, but you're not going to forget that. But I thank you for tuning in tonight, and I hope something was said. I hope someone takes the time to listen to what it is that the soul is trying to tell you. The soul is trying to, to set you free, to have life and have it more abundantly. So listen to it. We've done listen to everybody else, and it has stirred us in so many different directions. Start listening to what it is that the spirit within you is telling you. Brother Co-Producer, it's all yours. Thank you very much, and I look forward to hearing from you all again Sunday night.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Hodge to Hodge on Blog Talk Radio, the Messenger Edition. I'd like to say, those of you who speak to the Creator, who are knowledgeable are aware that they speak to the Creator, the next time you talk to him, thank him for the comfort he's given my best friend Alvin while his wife goes through a recovery period. Again, I don't ask you to do anything, but just thank the Creator for what he's already done.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, we need to learn to give rejoice, because that which is will always be. Hey, listen, I thank you for listening to the messenger tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
Check us out on Sunday night, 9 o'clock. And again, we will have a conversation with our very own messenger, Brother Rondaya. Have a nice evening, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.